25. Light flashed in his eyes. He heard, felt, movement about him. The light hurt, and he reached to put his hand up to shut away the light, but his arm would not move. "But I feel nothing," he said to himself. He felt completely rational. "We're on the ground," he said to himself. "It's a PSS Ossifer shining his flashlight into my eyes, trying to see if I'm unconscious or dead."
"How is she?" he asked.
"The girl in the ship with you?" A leisurely, calm voice. Too calm. Uncaring. He opened his eyes. A green-clad PSS Ossifer stood over him with a flashlight and gun. Wreckage, mostly from the ammunition carrier, lay spread out everywhere. He saw an ambulance, white-clad men working.
"The girl is dead," the PSS Ossifer said.
"Can I see her? I have to see her." He struggled, trying to get to his feet. The Ossifer helped him, then brought out a notebook and pen.
"Your name?" he asked.
"Let me see her."
"She looks bad,"
Nick said. "Let me see her."
"Okay, buddy."
The PSS Ossifer led him, by the use of his flashlight, through the mounds of debris.
"There she is."
It was the purple cow. Charlotte was still inside. There had never been a doubt from the first as to whether she was alive. Her skull had been neatly halved by the tiller, into which she had fallen with enormous force when the cow hit the big tub of an ammunition ship. Someone had, however, dragged the tiller away from her, leaving the opening the tiller had made. The cerebral cortex could be seen, wet with blood, convoluted, pierced in half. Pierced, he thought, as in the Yeats poem. Pierced by my glad singing through. "It had to happen," he said to the cop. "If not this way, then some other way. Some fast way. Maybe someone on alcohol."
"Her ID cards," the cop said. "Say she's only 16.
"That's right," Nick said. A tremendous boom sounded, shaking the ground under them.
"H-head cannon," the cop said, busy with his pad and pen. "More firing at that Frelixen thing."
He braced himself.
"It won't do any good. It's into people's mind all over the planet." "Your name?"
"Denny Strong," Nick said.
"Let me see your mandatory ID.
Nick turned and ran as best as he could. The cop called after him.
"Slow down! I won't take a shot at you! What do I care anymore? I'm just sorry about the girl!"
Slowing to a halt, Nick looked back. "Why?" he asked. "Why do you care about her? You didn't know her. Why don't you care about me? I'm on a black pisser snuff list. Does that matter to you?"
"Not really. Not since I got a look at my boss over the V-phone. Not since I saw him. A new man, you know. Like a baby. He was playing with things on his desk, stacking them up in piles, according to color, I guess."
"Could you give me a ride?" Nick asked.
"Where do you want to go?"
"The federal building," Nick said. "But that's a nut house now. All those new men in their cubicles. Stay out of there." "I want to see Council Chairman Graham."
"He's probably like the others. The other unusuals are new men."
Thoughtfully, the Ossifer said,
"However, I don't know if it has done anything to the unusuals, actually. It's the new men."
"Take me there," Nick said.
"Okay, buddy, but you're hurt.
You've a broken arm and possibly, very possibly, internal injuries. Wouldn't you rather go to City Hospital?" "I want to see Council Chairman Graham," the Ossifer said.
"Okay, I'll fly you there, and just leave you off on the roof field. I don't want to get mixed up with what's going on. I don't want it to start affecting me."
"You're an old man?" Nick asked.
"Yeah, sure. Like you. Like most people. Like this whole city, except in places like the federal building where new men..."
"It won't start affecting you," Nick said. He walked shakily, but unassisted, toward the nearby parked PSS skunk car. Walking, and trying not to pass out. "Not now," he said to himself. "Graham comes first, then it doesn't matter anyhow." Maybe he was spared, as the cop said. It seems mostly directed at new men, not unusuals. The cop leisurely got into the car, waited for him, then started up into the sky.
"That really is a shame about the girl," the cop said. "But I noticed what sort of mill it had, souped up like crazy. Was it hers?"
Nick said nothing. He held his right arm, his mind empty of thoughts, merely feeling the buildings pass below as the squib cruiser headed for the federal building, 50 miles outside of the city of New York, in the satrapy of Washington, D.C.
"Why was she going so fast?" the cop asked.
"For my sake," he said. "That's why she went so fast. That's what killed her." The squib wheezed on, making its familiar vacuum cleaner sound.